Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and belief expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, and my partner and good friend on this radio program is David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience this afternoon. Please remember that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you have any questions or comments about our radio program this evening, or if you have any questions about any Bible topic for that matter, please feel free to contact us at 254-445-2473. And you can also email us with a question or comment at keqx@rocketmail.com. Remember also that we have this radio program can also be live streamed at from harrisonmoore.org or from the KEQX purecountry.com. You can go and live stream and listen to this radio program and the radio station at any time from the internet. It's a very excellent live stream taking place now. They've changed things, and so you have good reception, works fast, and easy to get on. But also remember that on our webpage, harrisonmoore.org, that we have past episodes archived, and so you can listen to past radio programs that we've done here on harrisonmoore.org. And remember that this, our motto is, we have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. But one thing more I'd like to mention before we get into our discussion this evening is that in Rising Star, on November the 6th through the 9th, they're having a gospel meeting. Darwin Hunter is doing the preaching. A very outstanding gospel preacher. I know you'll be benefited if you'll go and over to Rising Star and listen to the gospel being proclaimed by Darwin Hunter. We have, over the last several weeks, been talking about the laborers in the vineyard. We took a little bit of a detour last week, but we want to come back and finish and talk about this parable, because this parable talks about something that's very, very important, because it talks about and gives us details concerning aspects of the kingdom. And you know, David, one of the things that's very interesting from the New Testament is that the terms kingdom, kingdom of God, and kingdom of heaven are used very, very often by Jesus. As a matter of fact, the kingdom of heaven is mentioned in 32 verses in the New Testament. And the kingdom of God is mentioned 69 times in the New Testament, and that tells us just how important the topic of the kingdom of heaven is all about.
No doubt about that. If we do not understand what the kingdom of heaven is, if we do not understand what the kingdom of God is, how in the world can we be pleasing to God, who puts so much emphasis on this one aspect of religion in general?
You know, that's right. And if the Bible mentions something just one time, that makes it important, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
But to mention it so many times by our Lord really gives emphasis to the importance of us understanding. Well, he says the kingdom of heaven is like unto.
Right. And in very specific terminology throughout the letters, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, speaks about the oneness of this kingdom. Very specifically speaks about it in all of the letters to the churches that were written, but when we get to the kingdom in preparation, which is during the time of Jesus the Christ, he preaches about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right there. It's not here yet, but it's right here. It's going to be here. Mm-hmm. In Mark chapter 9, he says, all of you here that are standing with me today will see the kingdom come before with power in your lifetime.
That's right.
And so the kingdom is here. We need to understand what the kingdom is. We need to understand how it is that he put it in such simple terminology. And we look at this parable that we've been talking about here, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. He begins here with this parable, as he does with so many of these kingdom parables. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And what he's doing here is he is taking illustrations of agriculture that these people living there in Palestine are tremendously familiar with. They understand about vineyards, they understand about vines, they understand about grapes, they understand about trees, they understand about pruning trees, pruning vines, they understand about sowing wheat, they understand all of these things because this is an agriculturally based society in which all these people live. And so he's giving this terms here and terminology that everybody can understand. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And then he starts telling us what the this is.
That's right. And so these parables that he's discussing concerning the kingdom, well, you know, the word parable comes from the Greek word parabole, which means to throw alongside of.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he's doing. Just as you mentioned, he's throwing these parables alongside of something that they very well understood to help them to better understand, well, in this case, what the kingdom of heaven is all about.
Right. And you mentioned just a moment ago, 32 times the kingdom of heaven is mentioned, 69 times in the New Testament the kingdom of God is mentioned, mm-hmm. and there are at least 13 kingdom parables that Jesus gives. At least 13 kingdom parables. And, Tom, that is nearly 50% of every parable that Jesus gives is about this kingdom. How important do you think that Jesus thought that the understanding of this parable would have to be?
It's vital. And that's why we're spending so much time on this parable,
mm-hmm.
because it really gives us some important details concerning the kingdom. Because, after all, the Bible says we're now in the kingdom.
Right.
And so if we want to understand what this kingdom is all about, well, let's let Jesus tell us. You know, you've heard what men have said about the kingdom, right?
Right.
Well, let's hear what the Bible has to say about the kingdom. So to get our thoughts flowing back into where we were last time, we're going to ask David to read the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. So open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew as David's about to read God's word to us.
Chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. We've read this a couple of times, but I dare say that it needs to be brought back to our remembrance one more time as we consider this parable. And this is the way that Jesus starts it. For the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, he's going to tell us what the kingdom, the vineyard, he's going to tell us what the church is like right here. It's like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he was about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last of the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take that is yours, and go your way. I will give unto this last even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now, that is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, and the vineyard is laid right alongside the kingdom of heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this vineyard. So with this in mind, Tom, we ought to be able to really glean some real good thoughts about what the kingdom is like, what the church is like.
Exactly. And he tells us at the very beginning of this that he is seeking laborers for this kingdom. Again, and for this vineyard. And so we need to realize that we need to be in this vineyard. He's seeking us to be there. And we're going to notice here in a little while that he was seeking people throughout the day to be in his vineyard.
Right.
It's important for us to be those who are going to be workers in the vineyard. Now, if he hires somebody to enter into his vineyard, to be a part of the vineyard, he's going to expect something of them, is he not?
There's no doubt about it. There is no one who has ever been hired to do a job that was expected to do nothing.
That's right. But
no one ever got hired to go sit in the corner and watch the day idle by. We are all hired to do a job, and I dare say if Sam down here at the radio station hired somebody and all he wanted to do was sit in there and listen to country music all day long, he wouldn't last here very long because he would be unproductive.
That's right. And you know, this vineyard that he's talking about here, we have to be a part of it, and we've got to realize that when he hired people to be a part of this vineyard, he hired them to be a part of his vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
How ridiculous would it be to hire somebody to work in somebody else's vineyard?
Right.
Or if you were hired and went and worked in somebody else's vineyard, are we expect to be paid for working in someone else's vineyard? That's one of the key components of this parable here, to show us that if we're going to be workers, it's going to have to be workers in his vineyard, of which, how many does he have?
One.
One vineyard.
One. Now, you know, even Sam can understand this. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is right down here where anybody can get a hold of this. If Sam hires somebody to work in his radio station, and that person goes over there to Stephenville and works in KSTV, he can't expect to get anything from Sam because he's not working in Sam's radio station.
Maybe a boot's about all.
That's it. Just one of the boots that he got on that trade that he made not too long ago. But the fact of the matter is, what we have here is a perfect illustration. Anybody that has ever worked for somebody else during their lifetime can understand you've got to do the work for the householder, for the owner, for the manager of whatever you're working for. That is who you are employed to work for. And the production that you have and the production that you make must be beneficial for that vineyard and that vineyard alone.
So the spiritual application then is for us to receive the benefit of work, it has to be in his vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in his vineyard that we bring glory to God.
Absolutely.
Doesn't he say something about that in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21?
It says, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. To him be the glory in the church. And this is what he's talking about right here. Mm-hmm. And it's very important that we understand also in verse 1. He went out to hire laborers. He didn't go out and check credentials. He didn't go out and say, are you a Jew?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Jew, I'll hire you. If you're a Gentile, I won't hire you. He went out to hire anybody that would work. He wants production in this vineyard. Anyone who would be obedient to the will and the directions inside that vineyard, that's who he was looking for.
And so to make the spiritual application for us today, the Lord's not looking for any certain kind of person. For example, he's not just looking for the wealthy. He's not just looking for the Caucasian. He's looking for those who will obey his requirements to enter into his kingdom.
Exactly.
Whether you be rich or poor, black or white, male or female, fat or skinny, that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you obey his requirements to enter in his kingdom where the work's being done.
It's a willingness to work.
That's exactly
right. Under
his
rules.
And you're not going to be willing to work if you're not willing to enter the kingdom, are you?
No, not at all. And this is the point that he makes as he goes through here. You see, in this parable, Jesus discusses life in the kingdom. He discusses the duties in the kingdom. He discusses the things that are demanded here in the kingdom, which would be the same thing as the householder of a vineyard would do. He said, we're going to do it this way. And somebody might say, well, you know, I want to do it a different way. No, this is my vineyard and I want it done this way. And when a person is amenable to that, then that person is going to be a laborer in that vineyard and there's not going to be any problem whatsoever.
And so in all this, we also see, David, that it also shows us the importance of the vineyard,
mm-hmm.
the importance of the kingdom, the importance of the Lord's church. You know, there are a lot of people today who are claiming that they can do work for the Lord outside of the church, which is just the opposite of what you read a moment ago in Ephesians 3, verse 21.
Right. And again, we get back to this point. You have heard what men have had to mm-hmm. say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now the Bible says if you're going to give glory to God, you're going to do it through the church. You're going to do it through the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so we cannot skirt the kingdom. It doesn't make any difference who told you what. The Bible says you cannot skirt the kingdom.
That's right. And remember now, this is a live call-in talk show. If you have a question or comment, please call us at 254-445-2473. We're talking about the parable of the vineyard. And we just getting started in reviewing this, and we talked about there in verse 1 how the Lord says that he wants people to be in his vineyard. This householder, the head of this vineyard, is looking for those who will be willing to work in his kingdom. Well, he goes out, doesn't he, David? And he's looking for various ones to bring into the kingdom. But one of the things that's interesting is that these who enter the kingdom, they come in at various times, don't they?
Right. Some came immediately. He found workers immediately to go into this kingdom. But then he went back out, and he found people standing idle. Now, they were standing outside of the vineyard, and as they were outside of the vineyard, they were out there idle. They were not working. And they were not working until they were hired and put into the kingdom. And so he goes out at various different times during the day. He goes out at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour. Every time he's finding somebody out there idle. And he is seeking these workers. Now, Jesus presents a very interesting invitation that parallels with this in Matthew chapter 11 in verse number 28. When he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Come unto me. Come work in my vineyard. I'm going to give you rest. And that rest that he's talking about is peace with God.
That's right. And, you know, if we don't have that peace, well, we have no hope.
Mm-mm.
You know, there's nothing better than the rest you receive after a day's work.
No doubt.
And there's nothing that's going to be more restful and peaceful for us at the end of day of the days of our life than if we've been working in his kingdom. Now, if we were working in some other kingdom, some other vineyard, the Lord would consider us still idle, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
And so this working, this lack of idleness can only be found in his kingdom, and we're doing that because we're looking for that rest, and that would coincide then with the payment at the end of the day, wouldn't it?
You hit the nail on the head. The payment at the end of the day is the peace with God and the rewards that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no peace with God, there will be no reward at the end of the day.
Now, I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, I don't want to have anything but peace with God.
No.
And so that's why this is so important for us to realize. Again, remember there, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. We need to be in this vineyard, in the Lord's church. And he's told us here in the X section we are here in Matthew chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, that he goes and people enter into the kingdom at various points of the day. Some entered his kingdom early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Others around the noon hour, and some late in the evening where that, you know, like there's only 1 hour left of work, and yet they come in and they start entering the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things we need to point out, though, David, is that this does not give us encouragement to wait until the last minute to enter the kingdom, does it?
No, it does not. And there's something else here, and perhaps we have all, even the listening audience, we have all heard this this statement or this phraseology made at the 11th hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they stayed the execution at the 11th hour. This is where this comes from. It's at the very last moment of time, the 11th hour, that's when the day is just about over, he hired the last ones. We can glean a couple of things from this. Number one, God will take you anytime you're ready to repent and be obedient to his will. He'll take you. He'll take you if it's with your dying last breath, as long as you are obedient to his will, as long as you are willing to put the Lord on in baptism. If you have not been obedient thereto or before, then he'll take you at the very last moment. But it does not encourage this, not at all. We're not trying to be encouraging here. Neither is the Lord. We need to make use of the time once we figure out what the truth is.
That's exactly right. And I find it interesting, David, here that the householder asked them, "Why are you standing idle?" They said, "Because no man has hired us. The Lord hires them." You know, there are a lot of people, we need to realize that the Lord is willing to hire us if we're willing to work. A lot of times people have entered the kingdom because they've not received the call from the Lord through the Scriptures.
Right.
You know, if we would open up the Bible, we see that we're always ready to be hired.
Right.
And that's why we need to get back to the Scriptures, to listen to God's Word, because he's willing and always willing to hire people into his kingdom, no matter if it's early or late, wherever your life is, there's always one willing to hire you, and that's the Lord.
Well, and it kind of paints the picture of many people that we see today. They here in outside of the vineyard, outside of the kingdom, they are claiming, "No man has hired us."
Mm-hmm.
They are ignorant of the fact that the owner of this vineyard went out to seek any and everybody who was willing to work. They never got the memo because they never read the Word of God. Now, it is not God's fault that some people don't know what the Bible says.
Right.
It's been here. It's out here. We've got more communication today, Tom, than we've ever had ever since the beginning of time, and we have fewer people responding to the Lord's invitation to come.
Mm-hmm.
But the invitation is always open, and yet these people are saying, "Nobody's hired us."
It's kind of like today, people say, "I don't have a job." Well, have you looked for one?
Exactly.
You know, we have a lot of people who aren't looking for jobs, and people, if they would just look for the Lord and look honestly in the Scriptures, we will find him, and you will find hire there. But these people were evidently just standing around expecting someone to come looking for them. Well, lucky for them, someone did.
Yes.
But we need to always take the initiative to be looking in the Scriptures to find out what he would have us to do so that we can enter that kingdom. And if a person's really honest, they're going to be looking to the Scriptures. And that's the whole point of our radio program, isn't it?
Sure.
To get back to the Bible, to see what God wants us to be and do, to be a part of his working kingdom.
Well, the proof in the fact that the Lord has invited any and everybody who will come under his terms is found in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so there's got to be a repentance on our part, a change on our part. Now, the invitation is open. Come work. Don't be idle. Come work. But there's something on our part that we've got to do. We've got to repent. We've got to change from being idle to being a worker.
Exactly right. And so, again, we want to emphasize the fact that we ought not to put off being a part of his kingdom. Because, you know, we could die. What if these people who are out there idle waiting to be hired die? What if the day is over and they're still out there waiting to be hired? You know, we could die today, David, couldn't we?
Sure, we could.
The Lord could come today. And so we can't put off. We can't stand around being idle. We need to be looking for employment in the Lord's kingdom. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 9, verse 8, it says, We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So we don't want to be found in that situation.
No. And again, the number of the parable kingdoms, over 50% or around 50% of the parables that we have here are kingdom parables. And we look at another one, just the parable of the 10 virgins, mm-hmm. another kingdom parable. Mm-hmm. What happened to the ones that were not prepared? They went and knocked on the door. What happened? They were too late.
They're too late.
They put it off. They put it off. They put it off. They stood there idle in the same sense that these people are standing outside of the vineyard. They stood there idle until it was just too late.
How many times, David, have you heard parents bemoan the fact that they put off taking their kids to church, giving them religious instruction, and then later on in life, when it was too late, their kids were too far gone, they couldn't bring them home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to realize, and sometimes people even have that mentality, I'll be more faithful when I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We may not have that opportunity. And not only that, our heart may be so hardened that were beyond the point of coming back to the Lord. And so this parable is not an encouragement to put off being a part of the working kingdom.
No, it's not. We are just nearly about time for a break, but before the break, I want to mention our phone number again. The number to call is 254-445-2473 if you want to get in on this conversation about the kingdom. Now, when we come back, Tom, we're going to be talking about, we've already talked about all of the different times of the day that these people came into this vineyard. Now we can see, because the kingdom of heaven is like people going to work here.
Mm-hmm.
So now the payment at the end of the day is going to be made. Now this is going to cause some ruckus. This is going to cause some problem with the people that have a bad attitude mm-hmm. toward the kingdom and toward the owner of the kingdom.
Exactly right.
And when you look at it, at first glance, you think, well, maybe they have a gripe here. But when you see what is transpiring here, we see that the attitude is one that of submission and obedience and repentance and remembering who it is that we are rendering our devotion to.
That's right.
So we're going to take a break now, and be sure and think about calling men on the other side of the break, and we will continue this and perhaps even conclude this parable of the laborers in the vineyard today. So we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Someday when my last line is written.
Perhaps you've been on a path or road that leads to nowhere. Maybe you have been down that path, and perhaps you feel like you're on that path right now. But you don't have to be. We need to be walking on the old paths and the narrow way of Christ so as not to end up in a knothole of destruction, the path that leads to nowhere. Friends, make the level path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Walk in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, and a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yea, fools shall not err therein. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes beginning at 9:30, worship services at 10:30. And midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Please make plans to attend and worship with us.
Amazing.
It takes 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible, about 52 hours to read the Old Testament, and 18 hours to read the New Testament. At the rate of an hour a day, it takes a mere 2 months and 10 days to read the entire Bible. The Bible tells us of our origin, our purpose for being on this earth, and our eternal destiny. God's Word plainly, concisely, and boldly declares the desire of our Heavenly Father, what it takes for us to be saved. It also teaches us about heaven and its life on this earth, but informs us also that we must faithfully obey Him to be saved. We learn the way to heaven in the Holy Bible. Do you really have some better way to spend your time than in God's written Word? The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible study for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m., and our worship times are each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m., and at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore. We are in the middle, and perhaps we're going to get through this today. But if we don't, that's okay. If you have a question, you have a call, you have a comment that you want to make about this kingdom parable, we want you to call in. The number to call is 254-445-2473. Now, you have heard what men have had to say. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, we heard what one person had to say about this kingdom parable. I believe the comment was made, "I don't believe that." Well, it's in the Bible here. We are just reading scripture from the Bible, and we are looking at a kingdom parable. Now, we mentioned earlier in the first part of this show tonight, that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are mentioned over 100 times. When you put them all together, they're mentioned 100 times. The kingdom parables, they're right about 50% of all of the parables that Jesus gives is about the kingdom. So we can see the tremendous emphasis that God and Jesus the Christ, the Holy Spirit as well, place upon the kingdom. We need to know what the kingdom is. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Tom, we are no better than what we know. We are no better than what we think. And if we don't know about the kingdom, we don't know about one of the most significant parts of God's plan of salvation that we must know. And this is the reason that he spends so much time on this.
Exactly right. And you know, and even in all this teaching about the kingdom, and the important details of it and what it is likened to, still there are some people who just ignore, and as you mentioned a moment ago, some who just simply will not believe that.
Mm-hmm.
The question that I have is why? Well, I'm reminded of the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." In other words, the reason a lot of people aren't willing to believe this and will not accept what Jesus teaches concerning the kingdom is because the God of this world, the things of this world, their own wants, their own think-sos, have blinded their minds, and therefore they cannot see the glorious light that this parable shines forth.
Very true. Very true. So in this parable of the kingdom, it is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. He begins by saying the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. So it's like this. It's like something that everybody can get their hands on. It's like something that we can understand. It's like a vineyard and laborers going in there into the vineyard. And we mentioned just a moment ago, several different times during the day, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, the 11th hour, all of these different people are hired. They have all been standing idle outside of the kingdom, outside of the vineyard. And the householder has gone out there and he has hired them, and now they are employed to be productive, to have a productive work inside this vineyard. Now, some of them haven't even been there for an hour.
That's right.
But then in verse number 8 of chapter 20, the householder sends out the steward, the Lord of the vineyard. He says unto the steward in verse 8, "Call the laborers and give them their hire." Now, this is interesting. Beginning from the last to the first, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny, or every man received his wage. The last ones that were hired were the first ones that were brought back out and paid. They received the reward for the labor that they had done. Interestingly, they received the exact reward that the other ones had received that had been there all day long.
And it's interesting also, David, that right before this parable begins, in Matthew 19, verse 30, it says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the parable in verse 16, so the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. You know, he's really emphasizing to me, David, here, the importance of no matter when you come into the kingdom, there is going to be payment that is to be made. We need to realize that sometimes, though, as we're going to see in this parable, people have a misconception of the benefits received depending on when you enter in. But so far, right now, what we've got to emphasize on is that there's going to be payment that is made. And if we're going to receive this payment, then we're going to have to work till quitting time, aren't we?
Absolutely. And this also, this encourages, this when the Lord of the vineyard went out looking for laborers to hire, Tom, when he went out there at the 11th hour, probably there were a lot of people standing out there thinking, you know, it's nearly over. It would do me no good to go in there and work now.
Right.
It wouldn't be beneficial to me. I would receive no reward for doing this. But he makes it plain. If you will come and work in my vineyard, I don't care when you come in here, you are going to receive a reward.
I know you've heard of people say, I've been too bad, too long to ever be right with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we see in this parable that is not the case.
No, it's not.
If we're willing to enter into the kingdom, even at the very end, he'll accept us into the kingdom if we'll do what he says. And then at the end of the day, we're going to receive payment. That's the wonderful thing about this aspect of the kingdom. No matter when you enter in, there's payment.
If you will remember a couple of weeks ago, one of our callers that called in said, well, you know, I just don't have a chance then. I just don't have a chance. Sure, everybody has a chance. Everybody has an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Everybody has hope. The key is being willing to enter into the kingdom on the terms that the Lord of the vineyard sets forth. That is the key. And if we're not willing to enter into the kingdom or the vineyard according to the terms that is set forth by the Lord of the vineyard or the owner of the vineyard, then no, we don't have a chance. We're going to have to be submissive to the will of the Lord.
That's right. And so, David, for all men, an evening settlement will come at the close of last day.
No doubt.
And that's why the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Every single one of us will die unless the Lord comes first, and then the judgment, well, that's the time for the payment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things we got to realize, is every one of us is going to be there. But we're going to also have to give an account for whether or not we worked or not, right?
Exactly. And here the illustration is made. The approval from the Lord is for those who have come in.
Mm-hmm.
The disapproval of the Lord is for those that are out there. Why are you standing out here?
Mm-hmm.
For heaven's sake, why are you out here, he's saying. So the approval is for those who come into the kingdom and work. The disapproval are for those who are standing out there idle, doing nothing, and refusing to accept the willingness to labor in the kingdom. And when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Well, the good is inside the kingdom. The evil is the one that is standing outside idle.
That's right. So it's not just a matter of entering into the vineyard, entering the kingdom. We're going to have to work while we're there. You know, sadly, though, David, there are a lot of people who have entered into the kingdom, but they enter into the kingdom and go over there and lean on their shovel or lean on their hoe, and they're not working. Well, that's not going to receive payment.
No.
And so it's not just a matter of entering in. We have to be there, but we're also going to have to work while we're there to receive the benefit. And so it's important for us then to realize that once we enter the kingdom, and you know, sometimes, David, people enter into the kingdom. Let's just say a guy enters in at the early day.
Right.
He enters in there early in the day. He works half the day and decides he's going, you know what, I've done enough. Let these other guys do it. I'm just going to quit. What kind of payment is that going to receive?
Well, Paul kind of gives us an illustration in 2 Timothy chapter 4. At the end of his life, he writes the last letter that he writes with the help of the Holy Spirit, inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He writes it to Timothy, and he tells him in verse 10, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He didn't run a halfway race. He finished the course. And then he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And so he tells us, if we will finish the course, if we will keep the faith, if we will get in this race and finish it up, then we are going to be guaranteed the promise of God.
That's right. And when did Paul, compared to the other apostles, enter into the kingdom?
Late. Very late. He was the latest one of the bunch.
That's right.
But he got in there and he went right to work.
And he worked hard. There is probably not a person in the New Testament. Well, I'm not going to say probably. I know there's not a person in the New Testament that worked harder for the Lord and his kingdom when he got there than the Apostle Paul.
He was making up for lost time.
That's exactly right.
He was making up for lost
time. And
in
Galatians 5 and verse 7, it says, Paul, here's what Paul says. He knows the one who entered in late, who's working. He says, ye did run well. That's past tense. You were doing the right thing. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Something caused them along the way to stop working. The question we might want to ask ourselves is, if we have stopped working in the vineyard, what is it that has caused us to stop working in the kingdom?
Well, not only that, the implication there in Galatians chapter 5 is that they are no longer even in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Who has hindered you? Who has hindered you? Who has fixed it to where you're not doing anything here? At what point... You know, when the Lord of the vineyard asked those folks a while ago, outside of the vineyard, why are you idle?
Mm-hmm.
Can he not ask the same question in the vineyard?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you idle here?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the whole key here, is when we enter this kingdom, when you are hired by someone, they expect you to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to enter God's kingdom, he expects us to work. We can't stop short of the day and expect to receive the benefit of a day's wage.
Right.
And so we've got to keep on working. And, for example, I want you to consider just how horrible this thought is. In your Bibles, in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, it says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and saved Jesus Christ, that is, they are entering the kingdom now, and are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the first. Here's people who have entered the kingdom. They start off good, but then they get tied up again and they become idle again. Well, just to show you how disgusting this is to the Lord, he says in verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto him. But it happened to them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, a sow that it was washed to wallowing in the mire. Here are people who have entered the kingdom. They were once idle. They now enter the kingdom. They're working for the Lord, and now they decide, you know what? I'm going to go back out there and be idle again. He says that kind of person is worse off than the one who never entered in. And he says to him, it's so disgusting, it's like, well, you know, there's nothing more disgusting to me, David, than seeing a dog eat his own vomit.
That's tough.
And that's the way this is, to enter the kingdom, to be idle, to hinder, to stop running, and therefore, the day's wage is not going to be yours then.
No, it's not. 254-445-2473. Call us with a comment or a question as we consider this kingdom parable. And hopefully now we're going to see that we can't quit early. As a matter of fact, later, the Lord, it would be the same Lord of the vineyard. The Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. If you finish out your work, if you don't give it up. But now we have seen now, Tom, how now payment is beginning to be made here. And he tells the steward of the vineyard, go get all of the men, starting from the ones we hired last, and you pay them first. So the ones that came in on the 11th hour, they were the first ones paid. And now we read in verse 10 about the rest of them. It says, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny, just like the ones that got in there at the very last hour. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. So now we got some people that are unhappy over the payment situation.
You know, one of the things we got to realize is, David, that God is not going to half save some and fully save other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the wonderful thing about being a part of his kingdom. No matter when you enter in, if you enter in and you have worked for the Lord, the Lord's going to save you.
Right. It's going to be full payment.
That's right. Full payment. And that would be a great way, a great thing to not discourage one from, no matter where they are in life, to go ahead and enter in, because salvation is better than no salvation of all at
yes.
all, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those that are going to receive this reward in the vineyard, and this is a parable laid up beside the kingdom of heaven is like, the vineyard folks, the ones that are working in the vineyard, not the ones outside, they're going to receive the reward for having worked in. When we look at the kingdom of heaven, when we look at the church, the heavenly reward is going to be given to those who are obedient to the will of the Lord of the kingdom.
That's right. No matter if it's early in the day or late in the day. And again,
right.
we have the perfect example of Paul, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
He entered the kingdom late, but he still received the prize. And that's what we have to look forward to. And again, I keep thinking about those people who said, well, I just don't think there's any hope for me.
Right.
Or, you know, I've been too bad, too long for there to be any hope. No. All you have to do is obey the gospel, to believe on him, to repent of your sins, to confess his name, to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to his vineyard, to his kingdom, to his church. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, that blood will continue to cleanse you of your sins. No matter, even if it's late in life, there's still hope if you'll do what the Lord says.
That's very true. And when we look at this problem that we got here, they said there, you have made them equal to us. Now, the problem was with the people that were receiving the reward. Now, this is a parable. He is telling it to the Jews. Now, the Jews are thinking to themselves, we have been in Abraham's family all the way back since Genesis chapter 12. And now, Lord, you have gone out here and you've hired a bunch of heathens that haven't even been in the family. You're going to make them equal to us? And that this is a bad attitude to have. Who is it that is giving the reward? These people aren't giving any kind of a reward, mm-hmm. but they want them, they want themselves to be up on a higher level than everybody else. Now, you find this in the church an awful lot of times.
Mm, that's right.
You've got people that have been members of the church for 50 or 60 years, and here comes this young fella, and he wants to be a member of the Lord's body. He wants to be a member of the kingdom. He wants to be in the vineyard working, and there's a jealousy factor that enters in here sometime. Well, I've been here so much longer than everybody else. What I ought to say ought to have more bearing than somebody else just coming in.
That's right. You know, I've been preaching the gospel, David, for over 25 years. Now, if I were to convert someone who is 80 years old
mm-hmm.
and they become a Christian, you know what? They're going to receive the same reward as I do. I can't expect, because I've been preaching the gospel for 25 years, to receive something better than him. Because if I did, then I would be in the same situation as these people did. That's one of the wonderful things about the kingdom. You come in. You enter the kingdom. You work in the kingdom. No matter when you enter in, you're going to receive the same reward.
Right.
And we ought not to be jealous about that. We ought not to think we're superior because we've been working a lot longer than someone else. We've entered the kingdom. We are therefore pleasing in His sight. We receive a wonderful reward no matter when we enter in.
Well, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, writes to the church at Corinth, and he gives them some instruction concerning this very thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. He says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise." We don't have the right to make that comparison. God is going to be the one that makes the determination of who is going to get the reward here in the kingdom. We don't compare ourselves to others. Right. Now, I understand we have a caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and your comment or your question, please?
First name is Paul.
Yes, Paul.
And I just wanted to comment on what y'all speaking of there.
Okay.
That's why it was written that it is of faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you were relying on works, then people that did, you know, better things than what I did for God or whatever, then they could boast, you know, that they earned their salvation more than what I did.
Mm-hmm. Well, true. And one thing for sure, no one can force God to be obligated to Him.
No.
To give Him salvation. No one can force God to be obligated to another person. You can't do that. But at the same time, our faith has works that goes with it. When we enter into the vineyard, when we enter into the kingdom, we cannot enter into that kingdom without faith. Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 24, "You shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He," if you don't have faith that I am He, speaking of the Son of God, "then you shall die in your sins." But that faith must have works to go with it, or it's a dead faith.
That's exactly what James said in James 2, verse 17. "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So you can't have true biblical faith without obedience. And so these all work together. It's not what we do separate and apart from God. You know, we can't be saved without God's grace. Do you agree, Paul?
I agree with that. And if you're saved and you believe, God puts a zeal in you to do the works of God.
Mm-hmm. And that zeal that He puts in us comes as we study His holy word. That's where we find the zeal. That's where we find what God requires of us to have that faith that's pleasing in His sight. So
exactly.
It's not just a matter, you know, He says in James 2:19 that even the devils believe. Well, if all you got to do is believe, well, then we're going to have devils in the kingdom too.
Yeah, but that's, to me, that's a mind belief. It's not a heart belief.
Well,
devils don't believe in their heart. They believe in their minds. You see what I'm saying?
Well, but the problem is,
because the Bible plainly states that, you know, a man that says there is no God is a fool.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, so, but you can believe there is a God. I mean, any man can believe in a God, but until he accepts Christ as his personal Savior, it does him no good to believe that there is actually a God and a creator.
Well, would it do also?
He believes on the Son of God as being his personal, you know, Savior.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, do you also agree that if a person does believe that Jesus is the Christ, then he will also do what Jesus says?
Exactly.
So you really don't have a faith from the heart until you're willing to do what Jesus says, right?
Right.
So I think we agree, but sometimes people kind of separate faith from obedience, and you really can't have one without the other because they are coincided. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments.
You'll do my word.
That's right.
And there's another part here also that I'd like to bring up is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, which we're talking about those that are outside the kingdom, those who refuse to come into the kingdom. In verse number 8, he says, "In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So obedience is an absolute necessity. We cannot have a true faith without an obedience to go along with it.
Exactly.
And so when the Lord of the vineyard tells us to do something, we're going to have to do it. We've got to do it. It's not an option at that point. It is an absolute necessity on our part to do exactly what he has told us to do.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. So what we've got here is that we're looking at people going into this vineyard. We're looking at people going into this kingdom, and they're finding a reward because of their faith and their willingness and their obedience to do just exactly what that vineyard, the Lord of the vineyard, told them to do in there. They are working in there. If they were idle, right, they would still be outside.
Correct.
And so we're all on the same page here. We just need to understand that our faith is going to require works, or it is a dead faith, is what the Holy Spirit says in James chapter 2.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. Well, thanks for calling in, Paul. You got something else you want to add to this?
No, that's all.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Paul.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate it very much. Appreciate it so much. Okay, so we are back here at the householder and his fairness. Can you wrap this thing up for us, Tom, here in the next 5 minutes?
Well, we're just going to do it. That's all there is to it.
Okay, well, we got 3 minutes.
No, 3 minutes. Well, that's the whole thing we need to realize about the situation. Who does the vineyard belong to?
Right.
And who hired you?
Mm-hmm.
And who paid you?
Right.
If he says, "I'm going to hire you for such and such," and he pays you such and such, who are you to argue with such and such?
No.
And if so it doesn't matter when someone comes in. The Lord says, when you come and you work for me, I'm going to give you the payment that is right. And we've got to trust in the Lord that the payment is right. And it is right.
Right. The proper application of this parable is that when we are called by the gospel, and every one of us, it's not some small voice that calls us, it is we are called by the gospel, and that is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. We are called by the gospel. So when we are called by the gospel, when we are called by the word of God to obey Christ, we should respond at once.
Exactly. And we shouldn't put it off.
That is the key to this. And some people hear it early in life, some hear it late in life. Some people don't realize that the call is out there. Like we mentioned just a moment ago, they just assume that nobody cares and nobody knows. Why are you standing out here idle? Because nobody's called me to work.
That's right.
The Lord has called everyone to work. It's the fact of the matter is many people are not even looking or listening for that gospel call that comes through the word of God.
And as laborers in the vineyard or in the kingdom, we should work diligently in whatever time we have left.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we've got a lot of time or little time, whenever time you enter in there, be in a full life of service, whether it be long or short. Because we may only have a short time. You know, we may enter in as a 20-year-old thinking we have a long time, but we may not.
No.
You know, the Lord may come. You may die early in life. So whatever time you have left, be it long or short, work hard for the Lord in his kingdom.
And there's one more thing. You know, Paul was talking about loving the Lord. And we've got to love the Lord in order to be obedient to the Lord. But there's something else that we need to consider. When we live our lives in this body, on this earth, we don't live and take all the good things out of this body and give God the leftovers. You know, that's not really the way that we ought to do it. We ought to have the mindset that says, look, I'm going to get in that kingdom. I'm going to do my very best while I have all of my faculties, while my body is good and strong, and I'm going to be able to do everything that I can for the Lord as long as I can do it because I love the Lord that much.
That's right. So, till next time, be sure you enter into the kingdom by believing on him, repenting of your sins, confessing his name, being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. The Lord will add you to his kingdom. And then, friends, get to work. We'll see you next time.